We are getting ready to celebrate what we call Independence Day, 4th of July. And I just pray that you have a blessed weekend as you celebrate. But let's celebrate because we know that God is not finished with us. Amen. Hallelujah. The devil's plans will only succeed until God changes the dynamic. Amen. And I'm looking for God to change some dynamics. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Goliath had the people of God intimidated. The king was hiding in his tent until a little boy stepped forward under the power of God, and God changed the dynamic with a little rock that took him down and brought victory. We are only under the attack until God changes the dynamic. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. I want you to look with me into the Word of God today. Me and Sister Betty took some time off this week, and different ones have asked me, "Well, did you get some rest?" And I told them, I said, "You know, I took about enough time off to realize all the things that I'm not getting done." Sometimes that's why you take time off. You step away from it. And wow. Okay. Amen. Sometimes we don't understand the purposes of God and why he does certain things, why he says certain things. We don't understand why he puts certain things in the Word of God, and it's confusing to us, and we think, what's that all about? Because we wasn't there when he wrote it. But I stole something from Sister Kat Bennett this week. Well, borrowed. Where you at, Kat? Right there. I borrowed it from you. Printed it out. Because it explains some things. How many like for things to be explained? Amen. I like it when some things get explained. And we thank God. In the law, you read the law, and some of the things that God wrote, you think, what in the world is that all about? And then, you know, our finite minds finally come upon something that says, oh, that's why. Have you ever read in Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 11 where it says, you should not wear a garment of different sorts, such as wool and linen mixed together? You ever read that and thought, what? What is that about? Well, God didn't give us restrictions just because He was thinking, I want to just see how hard I can make it on these people. I want to confuse them real good and see just what they do. Now, he had purpose in everything that he did. And in 2003, there was a study done by a Jewish doctor, Heidi Yellen, on the frequencies of fabric. How many know I love to talk about frequencies? According to this study, the human body has a signature frequency of 100. And organic cotton is the same, 100. The study showed that if the number is lower than 100, it puts a strain on the body. A diseased and nearly dead person has a frequency of about 15. Now listen to this. And that is where polyester, rayon, and silk register. Everybody's feeling tired now. Non-organic cotton registers a signature frequency of about 70. However, If the fabric has a higher frequency, it gives energy to the body. This is where linen comes in as a super fabric. Its frequency is 5,000. Wool is also 5,000. These two materials have a very high frequency. But when mixed together with linen, when wool and linen is mixed together, the frequencies cancel each other out and fall to zero. Even wearing a wool sweater on top of a linen outfit in a study collapsed the electrical field. The reason for this could be that the energy field of wool flows from left to right, while that of linen flows in the opposite direction from right to left. Have you ever wondered why God said what he said? What he was saying was, if you put these two together, it's going to drain you and make you feel tired all the time. Amen. And polyester and rayon and silk and about everything that everybody has on in here is only a 15. And so we're trying to vibrate at 100 and our clothing is draining us to a 15. Come on, somebody. But linen has 5,000. That's why linen sheets and stuff like that. It makes you feel happy. It makes you feel light. You understand what I'm talking about? So God said what he said because he had a purpose for saying it. What he was saying was, I don't want my people going around being sluggish because their clothes are sapping the energy out of them. Amen. See, that's why I like cotton. I tell Sister Betty all the time, I like cotton. I like cotton. Amen. Very few things are made of cotton that you can actually wear without just wrinkling all over. But I like cotton. One of the reasons I like cotton is because I have this real weird thing with anything that is aggravating me and poking me. Y'all ever wear a shirt that has a seam that's got that one little thing poking you? It ruins your whole day. I mean, you're just all day long. You're just, you know, some of y'all might not have this, but I mean, I can feel the slightest little thread that is poking me, and that thing is just digging at me all day. I will actually have a red spot like this just from one little tiny thing poking. It's not worth it. God knew that. Can you imagine? God cared so much about us that he was trying to even help us know what material to wear so we wouldn't be wore out all the time. Amen. Some of us are going to, a person that's almost dead is at a 15. And I wonder if we took a frequency scale today and attached it to us, how many of us would be bumping 15 this morning? Amen. We got to get that thing up. We got to get the frequency of the Holy Spirit. That's why when you come in here and we worship God and we get in the frequency of heaven, all of a sudden you feel light, you feel energized. Everything changes in your life. Why? Because you just entered into a life-giving frequency. Amen. That just changes us. Amen. Changes us. God knows about these things. So when God says don't do something, there's a reason he's saying don't do it. Amen. The verse just up from that says don't plow with a donkey and an oxen together. It's almost like God's saying, you know, just how low down do I have to go? How elementary do I have to go? Well, obviously he has to go way down. Because he said not to plow with the oxen and donkey. Why? Because they're unequally yoked. They will fight each other all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. So you young women and young men, listen to me. Don't be hooking up no donkey if you're an ox. Amen. Because you're just going to be fighting against each other all the time. So God gives us certain commandments. It tells us, you know, what to do and what not to do. And anymore, some of the things I see today, I just shake my head and I say, we're not going to make it. I mean, when they have to tell young people not to eat soap pods, we're not going to make it. When a battery has a warning on it, a car battery has a warning on it that says, do not drink the contents. Who caused that warning? Somebody caused that warning. Somebody drunk the contents of the battery. You see what God's dealing with now? That's why he has to get so simple with us. Amen. He has to tell us, don't do that. We was at a restaurant over the weekend, or last week, and Sister Betty got very upset because there was a young couple there that was eating, and she's a child advocate. You just don't mistreat children around her, okay? And this young couple had this little boy. He couldn't have been wasn't a year old probably, might have been a year old, couldn't talk yet. He wasn't a year old. He was, I don't know, 8 months. And there was, what was that stuff? Horseradish sauce. And he went to get the horseradish sauce, and the dad says, that's going to be spicy. And let him eat it. And then they sit there fighting with him for 30 minutes while he screamed his head off and they couldn't figure out why he was crying. How low can you go to where we have to explain things to people? And now we understand where we're at as a church. God is trying to get our attention, and a lot of the body of Christ is having a really hard time processing, don't do it. Amen. Amen. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles 19. I've been all funny and happy a while ago, now I'm mean. 2 Chronicles chapter 19. Talking about Jehoshaphat, and I've been wanting to get in to this story, but we're just going to have to ease into this because there's so much that we need to find out. We've been talking about the spoils of war, and I got to tell you something, the devil absolutely hates these messages. He hates them because he does not want the children of God realizing what we have and realizing that we can go after the things that belong to us. There are thousands, there are millions of souls that belong to the body of Christ because we have won victories and the spoils have been left on the battlefield. We're not going to leave the spoils on the battlefield anymore. When God gives us a victory, we're going to turn around and say, okay, now what belongs to me that the devil had when he attacked me? Amen. And he does not like these messages. He does not want us to get this in our mind because he does not want us taking what he thinks belongs to him. But it does not belong to him. I'm going to make a very bold statement and declare that there's absolutely nothing that belongs to him. Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth, therefore nothing belongs to the devil." He does not have authority over anything anymore, and he has called us to declare it and to prove it that he does not have ownership anymore. We look around and say, well, how come he's having such, you know, how come he's having such an impact? Because we have not been declaring it and living it out. If I can ever get there, I'm going to be talking about it today. Amen. Last week we talked about how David had to finally deal with the Amalekites that Saul was supposed to deal with, but all of a sudden David was being attacked by the same Amalekites. We have got enemies that have not been dealt with, and we have to rise up and simply deal with them in Jesus' name. Amen. There are generational curses in families that somebody has to rise up and say, it stops now. It stops in this generation. It's not going beyond this generation. Hallelujah. Alcoholism does not have to pass from generation to generation. Drug abuse and addiction does not have to pass from generation to generation. It happens. The enemy is effective until God changes the dynamic, and sometimes that changes is simply one person in the family. Getting saved and finding out who they are in God and what belongs to them. And next thing you know, hallelujah. I was thinking the other day, you know, my dad's side of the family used to produce alcoholics. When I was growing up, I watched family members drink themselves to death. We have buried young men in their late 20s and early 30s because they drunk themselves completely to death. I saw one freeze to death because she didn't make it in the house in the middle of winter and laid on the frozen ground and died because she was intoxicated to the point that she couldn't get into the house. And the next morning, there she was, frozen hard. I've watched family members go to prison because they were too drunk and didn't know if they killed the person or not. I watched alcoholism destroy families, destroy people. But then one day the dynamic changed because the power of the gospel came into this area. And people begin to get saved and born again. And alcoholism begin to be replaced by preachers and worship leaders and singers. And now I look around at my family and I've got people, nephews, nieces, and cousins, and people that are all over that are worship leaders and pastors and preachers. That the dynamic changes when Jesus gets involved. Amen. Hallelujah. Alcoholism and addiction is stopping in my family because it's been replaced by something greater. Amen. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Boy, I'm trying to get to this. In 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 1 says, "Then Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned safely to his house in Jerusalem, and Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, 'Should you help the wicked and love those who hated the Lord?' Therefore, the wrath of the Lord is upon you. Nevertheless, good things are found in you, in that you have removed the wooden images from the land and have prepared your heart to seek God. Now we have God reprimanding Jehoshaphat because he made an alliance with Ahab. God does not tell us not to make alliances with the ungodly because he's jealous. He tells us because he knows the destruction that is coming if we allow things like that into our lives. But he said, even though the wrath of God is upon you, yet I see good things in you. Because you have set your heart to seek the Lord. If I make it through this message, it'll be amazing. I'm going to stop right here and I'm going to say this. America, the wrath of God is upon this nation. We have slaughtered the innocent. We have corrupted everything in this land. We have corrupted children. This is the greatest pedophile sexual trafficking nation on earth. Our southern border has become nothing but a sex trafficking. It's the epicenter. There are thousands and thousands of children being brought across our southern border with no birth certificates and no way to trace them, and they're disappearing in this nation. They're finding big camps made full of bottles and diapers where they're trafficking children into this nation without birth certificates. For the purpose of the depraved and perverted of the world to prey upon. The wrath of God is upon this nation. We will not escape the sins that we brought in aborting millions of children and slaughtering them in the womb. We will not escape the perversion that this country has peddled to the world. When you get outside this nation, you realize that America is the number one purveyor of porn. You realize that Americans are the number one sex tourist traffic for brothels in the world. You go to India. And India, you don't call yourself a Christian in India. Because as far as they're concerned, everybody from America is a Christian. And what they call Christians are the number one customers of the brothels of these young children that they take into slavery. And American Christians and European Christians, so to speak, are the number one customers. And that's why when I go to India, I do not call myself a Christian, because that's what they consider all people from America and Europe to be. From a Christian nation. The wrath of the Lord is upon this nation. We have suffered under the administration that has been brought on by the wrath of God being upon us. We are being ruled by the foolish. Because of the corruption that's in this country, the greed. Greed has brought us to this point. Our politicians can't do anything but take bribes. You send somebody to Washington, D.C., they have a hard time doing anything because as soon as they get there, they threaten their families and tell them, if you don't do what we tell you to do, we'll kill your families. I've had them tell me that. These freshmen, congressmen, freshmen, senators, as soon as they arrive, they're brought into a meeting and they're told exactly what their life will be if they don't do what they're told to do. But we do have some that are starting to stand up in the face of evil, in the face of threat. We're starting to have some that are starting to move forward, and I believe in my heart that God is looking at this nation and saying, you have made ungodly alliances, but I see some good in you. Because I'm seeing the people of God setting themselves to seek the Lord, and I see some good. I got to tell you something, with all of the corruption, with all of the stuff that's going on, it is no power for a God that can change the dynamic in an instant. It is nothing for God to bring the victory to the people of God. When we pray and when we humble ourselves before Him, He can change it. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying we're in a dark place, but it's not over yet. We still have hope, because I'm looking at hope right now. We might be a small group meeting in a small place, but I got to tell you something, God has never looked at the numbers. He's always looked at the size of your faith. He said, if you got the size, Brother Colin said it today, if you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you can speak to this mountain, say, be removed and be cast into the sea, and it'll happen. Well, I'm looking at it, up some people that have mustard seed faith, because I've watched you operate. I've watched you move. I've watched you believe God. I've heard you pray. I know your heart. I've watched you worship. And I know for a fact that God hears the hearts of His people when we pray and we seek Him with a pure heart. And God will not reject His people. There's still a lot of people in this nation that believe God. And there's getting to be more and more, because we begin to realize what kind of shape we're in. There's more praying going on now than there's been in years and years. Amen. The worship is stronger than it's ever been. Amen. There's worship going on everywhere, worship and prayer meetings going on everywhere. I mean, they're on state capitals, in basements, in houses, in yards, in neighborhoods, in places of business. There's prayer and worship that is beginning to happen all over, because people are beginning to realize. And I got to tell you something, when we turn our hearts back to God and we serve Him only, if God brings judgment on this nation, He's going to have to send an ark to get us out, because He will not pour out His wrath upon the holy. But I got to tell you something. We've just started. We're about to celebrate Independence Day, and we are being held hostage by corruption we never dreamed would ever see. Right now, we the people are not in charge of this nation. Globalists and the CIA are in charge of this nation. They're the ones calling the shots. Oh, I could go into it right now, and some of you throw rotten eggs at me because you don't want to hear it. But I got to tell you something. They will bow. When their giant falls, they will run. They'll scatter like cockroaches when you turn the light on, when the glory of God comes in. Amen. I believe in this last day, I am not going to get to the much of this message preached. I believe in this last day that there are voices being raised up in this nation that'll cause the wicked to shudder when they hear the sound in their voice. Several years ago, God gave me a prophetic word that said, I'm raising up men and women in this last day that kings will tremble when they hear that they've landed on their shores. Because they know they're carrying a powerful word from God, and when they speak, things happen. I'm not talking about prophets that just have general prophecies for 1995. I'll give you a word today. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about the silliness that we see going on. I'm talking about people that have a word from God that has literally possessed their soul, and they can't get away from it, and they will die before they will not tell this word. When people, this Old Testament prophet, the prophets that we're talking about right here, that's coming back. That's coming back. Where men and women will suddenly rise up with a word and say, "Did I not tell you? Now that you've done it," you hear what I'm saying? It'll come from men and women that have fought hard in the night to overcome fear and anxiety because they know what they've got to do. You say, "Well, these kind of people that don't bother them." I got to tell you something. Real prophets many times wrestle all night long over a word that God has given them because they know the impact it's going to have and the repercussions it's going to have, and they don't want to give it. It's not some funny, happy little thing. It's not a pat on the back that you're looking for. When God speaks through you in this measure, you are not looking for anybody to pat you on the back except God Almighty. And you know that in a few minutes you might see Him, so you want to make sure you do what He says. Amen. There's sometimes you just have to say, "God, I might be seeing you here in just a few minutes." But if not, you might ought to do something. Amen. You might want to do something. God began to give me prophetic words in the late 70s and early 80s about great revivals that was going to break out, not only in this nation but around the world. And I began to speak those. I was with the Lord all night. One night He took me on a journey, and I spent the night traveling from nation to nation. I saw things that I didn't think I would ever see, but I've saw them since then. Reinhard Bonnke was a fulfillment of the things that God showed me, because He took me to nation after nation, and I saw oceans of dark-skinned people coming to God and being touched by the power of God. And I lived long enough to get to see that. And it's not over with yet. But I began to declare what the word of the Lord said, and there was a lot of people, they threw me out. They told me they didn't want to hear it, that I was a false prophet. I was very unpopular in the late 70s and early 80s as a young man, because I began to prophesy that there was great revivals coming to this nation and around the world, and I was rebuked. I was told to shut up. I was told I didn't know what I was talking about. I was speaking heresy, that it was unbiblical because there was a great falling away coming and nothing was going to stop it. And yet I spent the whole night with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He was telling me, "I want to touch this world." And I've had the blessing of being able to watch God fulfill that. And we're not finished yet. I believe with all of my heart that the devil has really made some bad decisions. Satan has got arrogant and showed his hand too early. And we have been given a third awakening, fourth, fifth, whatever it is. God is giving us another awakening to this nation because the devil played his hand too quickly. Hear me, O Zimri. Listen, you spirit of Dachau. You remember that word about a year ago? Yeah. He got arrogant and decided to move just a little too quickly. And God had not released his authority off of us yet. And because of that, the Bible says right here that Jehoshaphat, after he got that word, Jehoshaphat went and began to call the people back to God. I'm not going to get to the rest of it, but he had an encounter. Oh, I want to tell you something. When a prophet stands before you and says, because of this unholy alliance you've made, the wrath of God is upon you, but I see some good in you because you've set your heart to seek God. Jehoshaphat said, well, if that's it, I'm going to really go after God, and I'm going to turn this nation around so that I can get the wrath of God off of me. And so Jehoshaphat began to go through the country saying, turn back to God. Please. Do it. You don't understand. We, as a people of God, the anointing is coming upon the body of Christ to begin to go out and proclaim again the good news. We're seeing it in little pockets, but there are some moves of God. We have had fight after fight after fight, and we're not finished fighting. Every school board needs to know that there's still morals in this nation. Every city council needs to know that there's still morals in this nation. Every state government needs to know. But I got to tell you something, all of that will come to nothing if we don't have a turning back to God and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We can legislate all we want to, but the devil does not obey the laws of man. He only obeys the laws of God. And when the law of God steps in, he has to obey. He has no choice. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, we're not going to get to it this week. Next week, we're going to get to the place where Jehoshaphat, he said, God, I'm standing in the place you told me to stand. I'm here. Did you not say? Oh, God, did you not say? And we are a people of God that is starting to rise up and say, God, did you not say? And we're going to see the victory of the power of God come on the people again. We are not done. We are not out. It's not over with. The devil is not more powerful than God. And the children of God are more powerful than they ever dreamed they were. You take somebody filled with the power of the Holy Spirit under the authority of an almighty God, stand up and begin to speak, and demons tremble. They gnash their teeth because now they're hearing the authority of the one they have to obey. I don't want to stand up in this world and have the devil look back at me and say, Paul, I know, and Jesus, I know, but who are you? I want him to hear it in my voice. When I speak, I want him to say, oh, I know that tone. I know that voice. Come on, somebody. I can hear it. I can hear it in people's voices. I can hear the glory of God in people's voices. There's worship, certain worship leaders that you listen to them, and it's not just talent, it's the glory of God. You hear it. There's preachers that when they preach, you're not just hearing somebody deliver a message. You're hearing the call of God. You're hearing the glory of heaven calling out through the words and the voice of that person. And it shakes you. Makes you tremble. Brother John Kilpatrick, many times when he speaks, he'll get up and he'll start teaching a good message. And it's like, yeah, that's good. That's good. But somewhere in that message, all of a sudden, something erupts inside of him. And when all of a sudden that starts coming out, you realize this is not just a man speaking. All of a sudden, heaven has grabbed hold of his vocal cords and is speaking, and it shakes you to your core, and you know it.